Emerging technologies are transforming the healthcare industry as we know it. Investors, say hello to HTEC, a portfolio dedicated to capturing the significant growth potential of healthcare innovation. Learn more at roboglobal.com/HTEC.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Tim. The UK has released its first set of economic data since the Brexit vote, and the trio of data, inflation, jobless claims and retail sales, all beat expectations. Would you say that these data signal that the worst is over for the UK?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say the worst is over. I think there was an initial shock and then that, you know, just reaction. But I think the reality of it is they haven't even filed the resolution yet to leave the EU. And when they do, it's two more years. So we're talking 3 or 4 years. So I think from that point, I don't really believe there was any real ill effect coming from that. However, the one effect that they are getting, which I think led probably is going to result in a little better data, is their currency is adjusted sharply, as we all know. So now, I think that in the UK, to me, it's a long stock, short gilt story. Mm-hmm. And I think that the adjustment from the currency, I think, is going to give the economy, keep it actually probably outperforming. That wouldn't surprise me at all until there's really some fissures that are exposed in the EU in general, or until they really go ahead and implement this act and get down to the tactics. But right now, I think it's a little bit too much to expect doom so early. I think the process has a ways to play out yet.
And do you think that the rest of the world can at least also breathe a little easier because they were expecting some disastrous results from Brexit? And as you say, the pound at least supports the economy right now. What do you think is going through the minds of economists from the rest of the world?
Yeah, I think if the EU would have pushed back really hard, I think that would have really upended things, and they didn't. But I think economists looking forward are still in their models, and quite frankly, these are models. But, you know, again, nothing's really changed in the UK. You know, the financial industry, when we all take a look at it, London is probably, the probability is very slim that they're going to lose their status as the premier or prominent financial center in the world. So, you know, real estate, yeah, a little bit much. But, you know, again, I think the economists, I think it's a little longer term. But short term right now, look, we've got the zero interest rates, monetary and fiscal policy, which we talked about last week in the UK, all pushing. Now, fiscal policy combined with monetary policy is a very popular thing. That's why I like the equities in UK and the long equity short gilts.
Right. Going back to the US, we see Cisco cutting about 5,500 jobs. Now, is that some kind of a two-tiered fundamental industry going on here? Because hardware companies are struggling and the likes of Google, Facebook and Amazon are growing.
Yeah, I think when you look at Cisco, they're a big acquirer. We all know they have a ton of cash. They're a big acquirer. They acquire companies and then they let go of redundant staff. I think that's their MO. But as far as, you know, the industry itself, when you look at the margins of Cisco, I thought the earnings report was fantastic, by the way. Their guidance was what disappointed people somewhat, but their margins improved to 64%, gross margins, 64% from 61%. And what they're seeing is service revenues are becoming an even more important part of their net income, or contributing contribution to their net, and that's a pretty good mix. So I think it's really a matter of their M&A and integration policy. But I also think there's some good things going on at Cisco. There's a little diversity in their business, and I think their margins speak for themselves.
Do you think that investors should give more focus to traditional tech companies like Cisco? Because all the attention right now is on the FANG stocks, the so-called FANG stocks, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. Because when you use a lot of Google and Netflix, you still need to stream and go to the cloud, and hardware is still needed.
Oh, absolutely. And the connections that the routers and the connections and the data centers and everything that Cisco does is certainly needed. And plus, let's face it, Google, by the way, is an incredible, incredible stock, incredible company. But I'd say for most of the FANG stocks, I'd say I'd definitely be taking a look at a company like Cisco that has a PE multiple of around 15 and has a nice dividend yield and a pretty stable business. And I think a very solid governance and long stayed company, at least. So I think I'm long Cisco and short FANG, actually.
Great. Also, a string of results coming out from the U.S. Retail results were not fantastic. Walmart did well, but not Macy and Target and Gap. So is the U.S. economy on the mend, and aren't Americans spending enough?
Well, it's the same old, you know. It's a bifurcated economy. Target, by the way, I think really got hurt because they tried to sell perishable food, which didn't go over too well. Usually people don't think of going to Target to buy their groceries. But I also think that, you know, there's, you know, this is more of the same we've seen in the U.S., in the U.S. economy here. You know, things look good from a stock market standpoint. They look good from an unemployment rate standpoint, but that unemployment rate doesn't really speak to really what's going on in this economy. And I think that you have this income inequality, this wealth gap here that's benefiting some, not the others. So in general, we have what a 1.5% growth economy where wages have pretty much been stagnant. Real wages have actually been stagnant to declining the past 15 years, 20 years. I think this is what you're getting, and it's more of the muddling along that we see.
And how do you think this will play into the interest rate decision, which is coming up in September?
I knew you were going to ask that. Well, you know, I tell you, I think the Fed would really like to raise rates, but the problem is they can't. You know, because of the leverage, not only in the U.S., but around the globe. I think they really like to do it. I don't think it's a shoo-in that they won't. I think if we get a real strong, some strong economic data coming here in this month, rest of this month and into September, possibility. But, you know, I think it's a 50% chance. I know the Fed would love to raise rates. Dudley, I think, really said what I think his opinion is going to become more prominent. But they just have to be careful what impact they have around the globe. And what they set off. And I think that's really bothersome to the Fed. And it puts them in sort of a quandary. And that's the type of quandary they've been on for the past several years when they were talking about normalizing rates, but really haven't been able to do it. And I don't see much changing that standpoint, unless they're forced to by inflation. And I don't think anybody wants to see that.
Now over to China, the Shenzhen Stock Exchange will connect with the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. And Shenzhen is supposed to be the NASDAQ of China. Do you think there'll be a mad rush to get into Shenzhen, especially with the memory of the crash in Shanghai 2 years ago?
Well, if people like to lose money, there could be a mad rush. But when you look at the valuations over there, but this is what, you know, and there are some good companies there, but the valuations there are absolutely insane. But what's even more insane to me is the fact that so much of that, those stocks are not floated. Like, let's say about 25% of the float is on the market. 75% is held. Let's also take a look at other companies there that list over there. They could be a washing machine company that loses money, but then they buy some tech company, and all of a sudden, bam, their valuation. It's really the NASDAQ on anabolic steroids from 15, 20 years ago. So that's my view on Shenzhen.
Right. Thanks so much. That was Tim Mulholland, Managing Partner of China America Capital Company in Chicago.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips that we provide our clients. Number one, don't move out of your house just because your wife tells you to. Remember, that's your house too. And number two, don't blow through the financial statements that you file with the court. These are key exhibits, and they often make or break your case. And number three, watch the social networking. Expect your wife's lawyer to do a thorough online search. And incidentally, this is a two-way street. Now, a bonus tip. Partner with your attorney in assembling evidence. You're one of the two leading experts on your life and marriage. Your attorney needs your input to achieve your goals. And finally, talk to your attorney before taking action. Good luck.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys. A partner men can count on. Online at CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.